Back once again to the Red Berenson Show here at Pizza House in Ann Arbor. And on this date, back in 2013, Michigan at Ohio State won 6-3. Booney Evis had two assists in that game. Justin Selman had a goal and an assist. And Phil DiGiuseppe had two goals to lead the Wolverines in scoring that game. And a 6-3 victory on this day 3 years ago. All right. We got another one for you. And this has to deal with our undergrad assistant on this date. And he is Mike Komisarek. On February 23rd in 2002, he had 3 points in the game. He had a goal and two assists in a 6-1 win at Yost Arena over Ferris State. Just thought we'd throw that at you on this day in Wolverine history. And also on this day in Wolverine history, our guest is Cutler Barton. Hi, Marty.
Hey,
that's what your teammates call you, right?
Yeah, usually pretty
okay.
much.
Okay, all right.
That or brick, so.
All right. Cutler wears number four, and you had a new experience this past weekend, did you not?
Indeed, I did. Oh. I was up front playing forward.
What's that like?
A little different. Coach Berenson pulled me aside before last week, before Fair started, and, you know, told me that he wanted me to play forward, and he thought that I could bring a little bit of grit to the fourth line back there. So he put me up there and tried me out, and I've been playing ever since up there in practice and against Fair. So I don't know if he likes me too much, but he likes me a little bit, I think.
Well, that's, they had, as far as trying to match up players, that fourth line for Ferris, that one guy was huge.
He was.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. I felt him, too. He turned around and clocked me in the face, put him in the box. I had to, back off a little bit there.
Okay, so how does your game change when you're put up on the forward? What are you thinking about? Are you thinking defensive side of the puck first since – you are a defenseman?
I'm still definitely thinking defensive side of the puck.
The right thing, by the way.
Yeah, I definitely think defensive side of the puck. I mean, I've always kind of had that mindset towards the game of hockey. You know, I want to be on the D side. I want to make sure the puck doesn't go in. I've never been, geared towards scoring the goals. But, now that I'm a forward, if I get my chances, I'm going to put the puck on net. And hopefully one will, hit the goalie or find a way around them. So.
Let's talk about an attitude adjustment with the Michigan hockey team this year, where last year, when a goal was scored early in the game, the Dobbers got down, you could just feel the air come out of the team. But this year, it's different. It just seems that gives you guys more incentive, and it really picks up your spirits.
Yeah, I think that this team really has a lot of confidence that we can win at any point in the game. If we have 3 minutes left, we're down 2 goals. I think that our heads are not hanging low. I think we're ready to go out there and work even harder and try to get those goals so that we'll come away with a victory. No matter where we stand in the game, I think that our team has so much confidence that we really feel like we can win the game against anybody in the country.
You have had another week now to prepare as a
yes.
You're going to be on left wing again?
I'm not sure.
Okay. All right.
I've been playing in practice. So
okay. All right. Okay.
Practice.
So you've been practicing there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, we'll find out when the lineup comes out before the game.
True.
But we've had a chance now to mingle practicing with your other line mates. How's it going?
It's been good. I've been playing with Nico and Chewy a little bit and jumping on another line with Tony and Evan Allen a little bit. We've all been kind of rotating through. So it's been good to get a little bit of chemistry with Nico and Chewy and go out there and try to, use my speed and go wide and get the puck on net. And coach has been giving me pointers all week long. After every drill, he kind of tries to pull me over and tell me something that I need to work on, that's something that maybe isn't built into me as a defenseman growing up. But as a forward, I kind of need to realize that maybe I don't even realize I'm doing it wrong. But he kind of tells me that so I can kind of put that in my memory bank and make sure next time I do it right.
Now, you're not overcritical of the defense, right?
If any of the forwards say anything, I'm like, hey, it's not that easy back there. But now that I'm a forward, I realize some of the things that are a little bit more difficult that I didn't think were as tough, protecting the puck on the boards or going around defensemen. I mean, none of that stuff is easy. So when you see someone on our team, JT or Mott or Kyle Conn, especially that line, when they go around guys all game long, I mean, it is not as easy as it looks. And a lot of guys make that look easy, or that line makes it look easy, and it's really not.
What challenges on an Olympic size ice is the forwards and the defense for their gaps?
I think I'll speak from a defenseman's standpoint. I think that more room, you can definitely get out of position easier. But at the same time, if a team like Minnesota, they're going to know how to play on an Olympic size rink, so it's going to be a tough game. We're definitely going to have to be, you know, reliable in the D zone and know our positions and not get caught chasing, because if we do, then we're going to get tired out and they'll take it to us. But I think that we've played enough this year on Olympic sheet. We've practiced enough on Olympic sheet that we're going to be able to figure it out pretty fast and play our game against Minnesota.
Well, this will definitely be a different Minnesota team than we saw in December, but it's also going to be a different Michigan team.
It is a different Michigan team,
right?
Yeah, yeah. I think when we played Minnesota back in December, I think that we were pretty disappointed that we didn't come away with both victories. Our team as a whole, you know, every time we don't get both those wins on a weekend, we're not satisfied. And I think this weekend going in, we know that this is a huge weekend for us. This is going to be a, you know, defining part of our season. So all the guys have been working extra hard this week, and I think that we're really ready. Our team's going to have a great chance to go in there, and if we work hard, we've got a great chance.
Well, like Red was talking about, every game's a big game, and every shift's a big shift, and you got to play it shift by shift, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, especially me, you know, especially as a forward now, so I definitely got to go out there and take it shift by shift. And as a team, we definitely have to go, you know, five-minute segments. We'll kind of try to slow it down if something's out of sync. And if it is in sync, you know, we try to roll, and put as many points up on the board. But at the same time, we don't want to, you know, we want to shut them out too. So
when you go on the road, how much different is what's the attitude on the road versus at home?
The attitude doesn't change too much. I mean, every game, especially playing Minnesota, you don't have to, you know, you don't need somebody to tell you, like, hey, this is a big game. We know. We want to play. This is why we come to Michigan. We come to play for the big games. This is us versus Minnesota, and personally, I wouldn't want it any other way. I'd like to go head-to-head and take them out.
Well, the regular season Big Ten title is definitely on the line this weekend.
It is.
They don't get any bigger than this.
I know. I absolutely love it. This is these are the games that people like to watch, and these are the games hockey players like to play. Some of these games, you know, they can define careers. The bigger the game, you know, the bigger the moment, the bigger the stage, the more, you know, we have to perform.
Calder Martin, our guest here, and of course he's from East Lansing, up where I live. And just for the little guys that are listening right now, talk about, you know, and I know we've talked about this before, but tell us about briefly about your trip to Maizen Blue.
All right, so obviously I grew up real little. I probably, you know, I went to a lot of the state, you know, games and everything. You know, different college games. I went and watched them play Michigan. Played for the Lansing Capitals and the Capital Center Pride, and then I went on to play in Detroit, CompuWare, Honey Baked, Victory Honda. Went on to juniors, USHL. Honestly, when I was little, for anyone who's out there listening, who's, you know, 10 years old, squirt player, or, you know, a Bantam player, I think that no matter where you are at this point in your hockey career, if you work hard, put the time and effort in, you can, you know, you can make anything's possible. So don't give up at any point, and keep working hard, because your dreams are definitely can become a reality, as they did for me, you know, coming here to play for University of Michigan and Coach Red Berenson.
That's great. Well said. And I'm looking forward to watching you guys this weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. By the way, Michigan and Minnesota played an overtime game at Yost. Who scored the game-winning goal? Anybody? Cutler Martin.
At
2:16 of the overtime period on January, what was it, January 9th?
Yeah, I'm lucky you put me out there, right?
But anyway, Cutler, thank you very much for being a guest here today, and we'll see you in many.
Thanks so much.
Okay, take care. Back with more after these words on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network. By Brian Wiseman, the assistant coach of the Michigan Wolverines. And Brian, you have a great story to tell. Your class came in as freshmen, and you had eight in your class, five of which were NHL draft choices. And my question is, how does a kid from Chatham get to Ann Arbor?
I had a lot of people phoning Coach Berenson on my behalf, former teammates and former alumni in Michigan. That was number one. Ron Korstein, Larry Babcock were two to mention. That kept saying, hey, this kid's playing junior hockey. You got to come watch him play. And whether I played well or not for some of the assistants, Larry and Mel, that came down, they didn't come back with some glowing reviews, I guess. But Coach Berenson was persistent, or these two were persistent in calling Coach Berenson, and he came and watched me play a few times, and I was able to do some things that that at least caught his eye, or at least made them reach out, and we had started communication. But I was a huge Michigan fan. You know, that was back in, you know, in 89, basketball won the championship, and football was king, obviously, still as it is today. And so I was a big, big-time Michigan athletics fan. Hockey wasn't as prominent on TV and on social media. That we didn't have that the means to get, you know, Michigan hockey back then. But I remember being at the Joe in 89, seeing, you know, the CCHA championship. So I was a diehard Michigan fan, and once the opportunity was even spoke about that there could be a possibility, you know, it was an easy decision for me that this is where I wanted to be, and this is where I wanted to be for a long time.
And, of course, you were a captain your senior year at Michigan. And talk about that a little bit, and what an honor that is to be a captain of the Maize and Blue.
Well, it definitely is, and that's the first thing. It was I was humbled by it. You're elected by your teammates. That's first and foremost, and obviously then approved, you know, by the coaching staff, or getting their blessing. And but you talk about the great captains that have become before my time, even my teammates, David Harlock, a three-time captain, and that's only happened maybe his time and or one other time, I believe, in 95 years now of Michigan hockey. So great captains have come before. I understood the responsibility with that. But we had great kids on the team. You know, my classmates you mentioned before, we were tight, we were good, we were committed, and we wanted to do well for Michigan. And the likes of Brendan Morrison as a freshman that year in his class, and we all know the story of his class and the success they had here at Michigan. Michael Knubel was a sophomore or a junior right behind me in his class. So you mentioned just before we got on air of, you know, the talented players that we had in the draft choices. But we had great kids, good teammates, that, and that's why we were successful. We were a close-knit group of kids at that time that were committed to do whatever it is to get to Michigan. And we were early in the stages, you know, obviously in the late 80s. We all know the story in the late 90s of how Michigan came back to prominence after, you know, Coach Berenson came here in 83, 84. When we came in 90, the stage was set for us to take it to another level with the, you know, the guidance of a guy like David Harlock and Denny Felser and some guys before that. But so it was a tremendous honor to be here, you know, to Michigan to represent the Maize and Blue, and then to be a captain. That was extra special.
And that's where the 22-year streak started, your freshman year of making the NCAA tournament, a record which may never be duplicated.
Well, who knows? It was, you know, maybe we can start another one, though, here with this squad here this year. But we don't want to get ahead of ourselves. But like I said, we had a special group. The foundation was laid years before I came here in 90, and we were just able to run with the ball and take it a little further. And then after I left in 94, you know, the next crop came in and continued that. And that's what makes this place special. The kids that come here, the teams that play here, and how they represent Michigan and Michigan hockey. And once you go away, and I was away for a number of years, you look fondly back about your time here, but you're awfully proud about the guys that are what they're, and you understand what they're doing and the commitment they're making while they're here after my time and our time is gone.
Of course, you came here for a little while as a video coordinator. You were assistant coach in Houston and some other places. Did you ever think you would end up here coaching?
That was a goal of mine, believe it or not, when I went through college. I came through with a teacher's education degree here at Michigan thinking I wanted to be a coach. Hockey was something that I thought would be a part of my life for a long time, not knowing professional hockey would be a part of that for any time. I thought once I got through college, my 4 years, I wanted to get into coaching right away. I was able to play some years, you know, outside of college and after college. And then when I stepped away from the game for a number of years, 8 or 9, 10 years, I was in the oil and gas business. The flame was burning. There was a burning desire inside, and you know, and I knew what that meant. And once I got back into hockey, and Mike Yeo, who was the head coach of the Minnesota Wild here recently, he gave me an opportunity in the American Hockey League. And I'll be forever grateful for that opportunity to get back into the game. And halfway through that year, you know, I knew that at some point I wanted to come back to Michigan, whatever that would happen, because there's been a lot of stability here for a long time, as we all know. And whenever that time would come, I wanted to make sure I was best prepared.
Steve Shields is back here as an assistant, a volunteer assistant for goaltending, and you can really tell with him, you know, working with Steve Racine, how much Racine's game has improved this year.
Well, he has, and that's the one thing. It's as a volunteer coach, it's volunteer, and it's you know, your time and what you can afford for your time. Steve Shields has been here every single day, and even on Sundays when we're closed, and that's not a joke. That's the truth. He is a hard worker. He's committed to helping us as a staff, and obviously to helping our goaltenders. And we can see, you know, some of the benefits of him being here consistently and his commitment to our program.
And it's no surprise that all these assistants are all Michigan people. You know, I mean, that's a great, great staff. And when you look at the talent that's coaching these kids and their talent, it's remarkable to watch. As a media member, just watching.
Well, it's good. And that's one thing we always talk about, Michigan being such a special place. And, you know, once your time has gone and you've moved on to different parts, that we always welcome these people back. And whether it's just for an alumni outing or for a weekend to catch our team and to get to know our kids. But we have lots of people that I'm sure that would love to be part of this staff, as I was, you know, just a few years ago.
Are we ready for this weekend?
I guess we'll find out Thursday, right?
Okay. All right. Thursday night, big game, huge game. This is the kind of games you like to play in as a player, right?
Without question. We're excited for the challenge. It's a great opportunity for our kids. It's a great challenge to go into Minnesota. We know what's at stake. Our kids have been you know, working extremely hard here, you know, through the weekend and leading up to this week. And I would say, you know, we have a good group of kids that have their game, and our team has matured along the way since we've seen this team back in December. So we're encouraged that of where we're at, and that's what we want. We want to play the type of game that we know we're capable of, and that we know that we have to play, no matter the opponent. And our kids understand that.
Why is Michigan such a better team on the road this year than they were last 2 years?
But I can't tell you, you know, the reason for the record or anything. I think I can tell you just with this group and not compared to other groups, we have a committed group of kids. They're resilient. They enjoy each other. They enjoy being at the rink, and they're not easily satisfied. And you bring some of those qualities together, good things usually happen.
Brian, I want to thank you for coming up and sharing some of your history and your stories. And they're always great to talk to you. And best of luck this weekend. Go Blue.
Go Blue.
All right. Brian Wiseman. And we're back with more. We're going to talk about tickets for the Big Ten tournament with Jeff Weinstein when we return here on the Red Berenson Show. So you stay tuned here on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network. Back once again on the Red Berenson Show here at Pizza House in Ann Arbor. And we want to thank Brian Wiseman for being here tonight. By the way, he was third overall in scoring for Michigan with 348 points. Matter of fact, he still holds the record for freshman scoring with 58 points his freshman year. And Kyle Connor is now second on that list with 51 points with games to go. But I was checking Brian, and he had 164 assists in 166 games for Michigan. He is second all-time in assists and career scoring for the Michigan Wolverines. And we're joined now by the Sports Information Director of the Michigan Wolverine hockey team. He is Jeff Weinstein, fresh back from Miami.
I was in Miami. I was visiting my grandmother for a couple of days. So, yeah, it was nice to go down there and see her.
Well, good for you. And we have a tournament coming up. And this year, of course, it's a lot different. We used to play playoff games at home on your home ice and have first round and most of the time second round playoffs on your home ice. That doesn't happen anymore. They're alternating between Detroit and the Joe Louis Arena and the XL Energy Center. And my question to you is, what would fans do that are listening right now that want to go to the tournament?
Well, about a week ago, single session tickets went on sale from the Big Ten. You can go to Ticketmaster.com. It's March 17th through the 19th. The Thursday session, the 17th, tickets start at $20. The Friday session, the 18th, tickets start at $30. And then the championship game on Saturday the 19th, tickets are as low as $40. And from my recollection, once we know what day we're playing, then Michigan will get a certain allotment, so you can actually get tickets through the Michigan ticket office. But I'll have to check on that. But that's, from my recollection, how it worked last year.
And I can't remember what the turnout was when we were there 2 years ago. Can you?
I think for the opening session, it was a little light, and then as you got to the later sessions, it was better. There was also the NCHC tournament was concurrent with the Big Ten tournament that year, so I think that had something to do with attendance as well.
Okay. So again, what's the time of the games? Do we know the time of the games yet on Thursday?
I believe they're 3 and 6 o'clock. I'll have to check on that off the top of my head.
We have plenty of time. We have plenty of time. And of course, this is a busy time for you because you're getting a lot of media requests and things for players, coaches, and whatnot. How do you keep all that in order?
I don't know. it's great. It's a fun time of the year. We have guys on our team, as all you know, that are having outstanding seasons. We have 3 players that are legitimate candidates for the Hobie Baker Award. So there have been a lot of local and national hockey news outlets that are interested in covering our team. And it's great. I'm sure it'll continue as we get to playoffs.
Well, fans could vote for the Hobie on the...
Yes, you go to facebook.com/Hobie Baker Award. They're actually doing all their voting on Facebook this year on their Facebook page. So vote often. It does count for something. I think the misnomer is that it doesn't count, but the fan vote is considered, particularly when you get down to the final 3 and they're trying to make it. It's a really close call. Hopefully all those 3 are from Michigan. That would be great because, to be honest with you, it's a really tough call to decide between the Michigan candidates.
Oh, it is. And that's been a dilemma here before with, one year Redhead, 7 players that scored 20 goals or more. And, kind of loud, that doesn't happen anymore. But still, to have this kind of scoring on one line yet.
It's incredible. I've never seen anything like it in college hockey, at least with the teams that I've worked with. And it's a true top line, and they're incredible to watch night in and night out.
Jeff, thanks for the information on the tickets, and we will see you in Minneapolis, and we'll all have a good time this weekend.
Yes, we will.
See you. All right. Jeff Weinstein, Sports Information Director for the Michigan hockey team. Back with the final segment with Coach Red in a moment here on the Michigan IMG Hockey Network. All right, back once again on the Red Berenson Show here at Pizza House on Church Street in Ann Arbor. Thank you for all for showing up tonight. This has certainly been a good show and a lot of information going across as we're joined once again by Coach Red Berenson. And Coach, we're ready for the questions from the audience.
Well, before you get to the questions,
all right,
let me make a comment about Brian Wiseman. When we started recruiting him, and we knew he was a good small player, and Larry Pedry was our assistant coach and Mel Pearson, and they would go over, and you could, at that time, you could see a player play as many times as you wanted. Every time they'd come over, they'd go over and they'd say, well, he's pretty good, but he might be too small for our league, or our league's too rough, or whatever. And every time I would go, he would light it up. And I mean, he would put a clinic on in terms of passing and shooting and scoring goals. And finally, Larry Babcock, who had been my line mate at Michigan, and Larry wrote me a letter. He didn't call me. You know how cheap Canadians are. And he wrote me a letter, and he said, when's the last time you've had a player that scored hat tricks in whatever it was, 4 or 5 consecutive games? And he was right. He said, Red, you got to take this kid. You're crazy. Like, he is the best player in Ontario, and he was. When we got him, Brian Wiseman lit it up. He was Rookie of the Year. He had more goals and points than the whole Michigan State freshman class put together. Like, he just... And he led that group. He had Shields and Aaron Ward and Chris Gordon and Mike Stone, David Oliver and Cam Stewart. They had walked down State Street, and it was Little Wiseman leading them down the street every day. And that's why they had success. I mean, they were close, and Wise became a captain. And he and Shields and Oliver were all 3 Hobie Baker candidates in their senior year. And the only reason one of them didn't win it is because all 3 of them were on the ballot, and they kind of split the ballot. But they were the 3 best players in the country. So, on to the question.
Okay. This is kind of like a 3-part question. So, and it deals with scheduling, about only having 1 game in February. How does that happen? And we played Minnesota early at home and not late at home.
Don't waste your breath.
Okay.
The schedule is the schedule. The Big Ten makes the schedule based on basketball and based on the Big Ten network. And so on. So, you know, next year could be different. Next year you might say, oh, boy, that's great. We get all these games in January and February and March, but no games in November and December. So we'll wait and see But the Big Ten makes the schedule. Now, what we have control over is our non-conference games. And we like to play most of our non-conference games in the first half of the year and then the Big Ten games in the second half. But you saw even that we were going to have a weekend off, so that's where we got Ferris to come and play the game. And we'll go back to Ferris next year. But we've got other teams coming in next year, as you'll see in next year's schedule.
All right, we got about a minute left, so I want to go to you actually answered all of them. Let's go to this weekend and the biggest weekend for Michigan this year and the team's readiness.
Well, it's a big challenge. I mean, obviously, every game, every weekend is a little different. Every team is a little different. I thought the game against Ferris was a good, solid game. I thought our team took some strides in that game, and I think we'll be ready at Minnesota. Minnesota's a good team. Michigan's a better team than we were last time they played us. So I think we've got some momentum now, but don't think Minnesota's not going to be ready that first game. So it's going to be a challenging weekend, but I feel good about our team.
That's why these players come to Michigan.
Well, to play in big games, and these are big games. Now, this isn't necessarily going to solve first place. We have six games remaining, but it starts with that game on Thursday night.
Coach, thank you. And we'll see you next week on the Red Berenson Show. Well, actually, we'll see you in Minneapolis. All right, that wraps it up. Thank you all for coming. And we'll see you next week on the Red Berenson Show here at Pizza House on Church Street in Ann Arbor.